Oh, yeah. What do you mean by that? This is good. Oh, no, this one.
There's some more room.
This one.
I know.
Other than that?
You are good. No, the other person had these.
Oh, those are extra. I got them. I hear you.
Hope
you. Oh, thanks. It's getting there. Here you go. There's also a sign-in sheet going around. If your name is on the sign-in sheet, just put a check mark next to it, and if it's not, just put your information on there. Okay? Okay, so we've got a bunch of people, Michelle. I'll just pass this out.
Have enough. If not, the USA jobs one I'm not too worried about because that's on our website, which
right.
is on the card anyway.
Right. Okay. Who doesn't have handouts?
This would make me absolutely crazy if my computer at work was this slow. You know why? This is because this is the new version. It's the server version.
Oh,
it's not
really?
Resident on the computers anymore. They have to actually log into it.
Oh my. Is there anybody else in?
I'm trying to open your two slides so when you're ready. It's not that big a deal.
I can cover some of those because I just like to talk to you. So, as soon as I get this one, I'm going to start. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm getting print.
I look good on my printed
card. Oh, did you check them already? I do.
Have we gotten you guys hooked up to the prayer queue so you can use your copier to print from?
I don't think ours is set up yet.
Yeah, because they're very shortly they're all going to be set up like that. So
it would be
really
nice.
That would
be enough.
On the scanner. Being able to use scan capability.
Yes.
I
told them we don't pull off our scanners.
I didn't hear that. They're individual scanners?
Yeah.
That one I didn't know anything about. I didn't know anything about that. I don't see why they would take away scanners other than the fact that your big machine will scan and copy and everything else.
I know.
Everybody's
printing $500 down. As long as we have some places to copy, like, who's going to get on this? I don't know what else to get on these scanners. If you have an extra
they can come right.
They're
multi-functional. Once they set up the queue, then you go scan and
I'll say mine
copy everything and then you can or print to them.
Yeah,
the whole thing. That's
good.
So yeah. Unfortunately, this is one of those things where there's we're still going to get some printers.
You can ask
these.
Roll some of those kids right into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's that sign-in sheet? You guys, where did the sign-in sheet get kind of stuck?
Yeah.
Still going?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. That doesn't look like a dead shack. I don't know how easy it is. Does the wall look like a dead
shack?
That's it.
Oh, man. Okay, once you guys get situated, we're going to get started. We pass it.
Okay,
we're going to get get started. Hi, everybody. I'm Nicole Heaney, and I'm the director of the co-op program on campus. And we're really excited with the turnout. Apparently, Sonia made those phone calls. Did everyone get them? Called you all and got here, which is great. This is a great opportunity. I'm just going to introduce Michelle Camara, and she's going to introduce the rest of her crew. But Michelle is in charge of the Pathways program at the Naval Undersea Warfare Center. And she does a lot of recruiting on the college campuses. We've had a long relationship with Michelle. She's hired a lot of our office administration students to work at Naval Undersea, and she'll explain that whole program to you. Another great thing about Michelle is she is a BCC alum, and she actually got her position at Newark through her co-op just a couple years ago.
2 years ago.
We're excited to have Michelle back, and I'm going to let her go because it's real hot in here, and I think they have a lot of information for you.
Thank you, Nicole. Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michelle Camara. I'm the Pathways Program Manager at Newark Expedition Newport. We are located in Newport, Rhode Island. Is anybody familiar with Newark in this room?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So I wanted to come and tell you about some information technology internships that we're going to be having available. So I'm here to tell you a little bit about the internship. Who I brought with me is Amory Ritchie in the purple. She's our recruitment lead over at Newark. And Patricia Eno, she's our technical POC here and also a division head at Newark here to talk to you. So Pat will explain some of the technical work to you, and Amory will explain the application process and how this will flow. So my piece will be the internship piece. I've been working with BCC for quite some time. As she mentioned, I was an intern here back in graduated in 91, so I've been at Newark ever since. Great place to work, great opportunity. I have no regrets about going there. And honestly, I didn't even know what the place was until I got there. So let us stand in front of this. So I just have a few slides. I just wanted to show you how we are organized up in Newark. We are predominantly a civilian workforce. We do support the Navy. We are part of the Department of Navy. However, we have one captain, a very small military staff, but everybody else is civilian. So we have about 2,800 civilian employees and about 2,100 contractor employees. Flip that slide in. So we are a research and development facility. Part of the internship, U.S. citizenship is required, and the background investigation is required. So in order to obtain your positions, you would need to clear those two barriers first. And in these information technology positions, you could be supporting a group of 5 people, 10 people, 15, or the entire base. So just keep that in mind. It just depends on where you're placed and what hiring manager you're working for. They are entry-level information technology trainee positions. They're graded at an NT1, and the salary is based on what year of school you're in, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, for those people going on to a four-year degree. Next slide. All right, so as I mentioned, U.S. citizenship is required, so is the background investigation. I assume everybody's at least 16 years old in this room. So part of the pathway requirements, you must maintain a part-time status at the school, and that is defined by the school or the university. So if it's 3 credits or 6 credits, whatever the school defines a part-time status, you will need to maintain that throughout your internship. We are targeting the information technology arena. We have positions in networking, systems administration, huge push for cybersecurity, and database management. Part of this internship is if you are hired, you are required to complete 640 hours. That's a minimum. You can work beyond that, but a minimum of 640 work hours with us prior to graduation. So none of those hours can be completed after that. So when you're thinking about your graduation date, you're graduating in May of this year, 2015, you got to consider that 640. Otherwise, you won't meet the requirement of the program.
Michelle, what if you're transferring to a four-year school?
Good question. So if you're going to transfer to a bachelor's program, you would need proof of that enrollment, and you can continue on, and that'll stretch your time clock out to hit that 640. You will need to maintain at least a 2.5 GPA throughout your internship. Again, we don't want work to interfere with school. They are pretty flexible as far as schedules. So if you're out of school every day at 1, you could work one till the end of the day. So our flexi-tour hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can't exceed more than 8 hours a day, but you can shift your time anywhere in between that. So if you don't have class till 1, you can work mornings. If you can only work 3 days a week, that's fine. What I will say, it needs to make sense for the hiring manager as well as the student. So if you say, hey, I can only work 4 hours a week, that might not make sense for a hiring manager. It's not giving you enough time to kind of delve in every week. But if you say, hey, I can work 10 or 12 hours, that might be okay. So as long as the hiring manager's on board, it's very flexible with the schedule while you're in school. And then the best part of this program is you'll have potential for conversion to permanent employment in the government. So if everything goes well, you're happy, your supervisor's happy, you can convert into full-time employment, have a full-time job once you graduate and start your federal career. Anybody here in the service or has any service time? So all your time in the service will count towards your service comp date, which will count towards retirement. Part-time people do get benefits through the government. They just prorate it at a part-time rate. So on those little business cards that I gave you, the link on the back is this link. It tells you a little bit, go on the site, it tells you a little bit about who we are, what we do, the type of work they do at the base. It tells you there's a benefits link on there. It's very helpful, just because a lot of people don't know what we do. Great place to work. And how many people in this room are familiar with USA Jobs? Great. So Anne-Marie will touch on that later for you. Any questions on the internship so far?
I just noticed on the pathways sheet here that says qualifying degree in information technology. Okay. How does that apply to those of us who are enrolled in information science?
I'll let Anne-Marie speak to that.
Same thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It
should be fine.
Any other questions on the internship? Okay. So my information and Anne-Marie, she's our recruitment lead, our information is on the back sheet. If anybody has any questions along the way, feel free to reach out. Email us is probably the best way, because we never at our what I will say is after this presentation, once you listen to what Pat will tell you about the type of work you might be doing, and after Anne-Marie talks about the hiring process, what I would say to you, and my best piece of advice is if you're on the fence, apply to the ad. If a hiring manager calls you to interview you, and you may get calls from several people, we are a large organization, interview with the manager and then make your decision. Only because if you don't even apply, you're not going to put yourself in the running. And at least once you speak to somebody, and I find that with me, once they speak to somebody and understand exactly what it is, then make your decision.
The other thing, too, is, Dave, I don't know if Dave's still here. In the corner, Dave, everyone look at Dave, wave to Dave, and I'm here to help you guys with the application. We've done a lot of them with the office admin students, and it's a little bit of a confusing process to go through. You have to do everything just so that it's really goes through. But I've sat in my office and done the application with students to make sure everything went through. So Dave or I are obviously happy to help you with the application process. You don't have to do it on your own.
Okay, so if there are no other questions on the internship, I'm going to have Pat Eno come up and talk to you a little bit about the type of work you might be doing. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Pat Eno. I am the division head of the IT division. I'm also the chief information officer at our organization. Our organization is research and development facility. We have a huge population of scientists and engineers, and who all very much rely on their IT assets to do their day-to-day business. We have all different types of technical specialties at UIC. These are just some of them. One of them, the ones that my favorite ones, the guy with the slide together didn't deal with them much, but I came from the sonar department. That was one place where I spent quite a few years. I've been at Newark about 31 years now. We have an awful lot of really cool stuff. Pardon?
I can't be.
Oh, I'm sorry. Usually people don't have any trouble hearing me. But anyway, we have a very, very diverse product lines that we support. My shop supports the entire infrastructure. I'm not going to be the only hiring. I am a hiring manager for this particular program, but there will be quite a few other hiring managers that are interested in people to support their enclaves. The center-wide networks are all under me, but there are lots, believe it or not, most of our infrastructure, these end users, we have probably more than half of our infrastructure is actually enclosed non-networked enclaves. We support the fleet, and we support systems that were designed back before I came on board. So there are some very old assets, as well as some real top-of-the-line analysis machines that we use. We have a full network environment. We support Windows. We're replacing our XP machines right now, and we're replacing them with some nice new Win7 machines. So we're doing a big turnover there. But we have a lot of Linux. We have a lot of Windows. We have stuff that, well, some of your military folks, so probably anything you've seen, we probably have a copy of. We have in many of our in different environments. My group handles all of the networks, all the routers, the switches, the firewalls, etc. We have a lot of hiring needs. We have a great deal of difficulty finding really highly qualified IT techs. It's been very difficult to get them and retain them. We have, how many of you are taking Linux, by the way? Anybody Linux? See, you guys are in a field that's very hard for us to get, and we have a significant Linux footprint. So if you haven't gotten to the point where you can take Linux class, I recommend it, because certainly our organization needs Linux techs, and we don't have very many of them. Both my shop and a lot of the other shops use Linux quite extensively for some of our production environments, and so that would be a help for you. Okay, the next slide. Okay. Yeah, I'm still just kind of talking about the infrastructure. This is just a bubble chart. This is some of the infrastructure that we support, nice big keyboard firewall that we support. And we're hooked up to something called DREN. Sorry, I really did that. It's too cool. I want one of these. Yeah, I put the wrong one up. Okay, so we hook up to something called DREN. My shop does not support the email infrastructure. We simply support the S&T infrastructure. There's a whole separate organization that supports the basic office tools and the mail systems. One of the things that we were very impressed with when we were looking at your program was the fact that you guys are offered to take the Security Plus exam. All of my specialists have to have Security Plus. If you don't have it when you come in, when we look at resumes, if a person has Security Plus, they usually go to the top of the pile for me, because they already have to get it. So if I know you've got that, that gives me a level of confidence in what I'm looking at as far as an individual with experience. So is anybody here taking that exam yet? Anybody? No? Yeah, I really recommend it, because, like I said, all of my folks have to have that. For anybody who would convert to permanent, you would be given 6 months to obtain Security Plus. That would be a condition of employment for us. And that's true not only of the people that I would hire, but of anybody else that would be added to what we call our cybersecurity workforce. They are required to obtain that as well, that particular certification. And usually, on my side, not only are they required to get Security Plus, but they will require an operating system cert, probably similar to whatever operating system or systems that they're working on. So, but yes, we have needs for folks in pretty much every IT specialty. My organization is set up. I have a branch that just does my networks and firewalls. I have a server branch that manages my server farm. I have an IA compliance. The IAM for organization works for me. She has her group. We don't do an awful lot of forensics, but what little forensics is done in her group. And she manages all of the incidents. That's kind of what we do. Are there any questions? Any technical questions?
It's got to be just one.
Well, maybe you could ask if they plan on taking the Security Plus.
Anybody plan on taking Security Plus?
No.
Good.
That's good.
I would. Like I said, for us it's very important. It's one of the first things that we've required from our cybersecurity workforce is that they have that certification. And it has made the difference between somebody getting hired and not getting hired for us. So.
So So based upon what you've heard so far, what interest level do we have? Do people plan on applying? Raise hands? Oh, that's good. Okay. And the people that didn't raise their hands, as Michelle said, apply. You never know. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for everyone in this room and for us, because we wouldn't be here if we didn't need you, so we need you. So you're an asset to our organization, and we strongly encourage you to apply. Love to have you work with us. And for those of you who have prior military experience, I'm just going to mention this first, but I'll explain the application process in a minute. When applying, you have preference, so make sure you upload your DD-214s. I'm sure you know what those are. If you don't, you should find out, because that gives you proof that you have preference. So I just wanted to mention that. I'll go stand over here, actually.
My name is Amber Ritchie. I work with Michelle. Michelle is the Pathways Program Manager. I'm the recruitment lead. So we do work together a lot. And this particular position is competitive. So competitive positions in the federal government are all advertised on USA Jobs. If you look, you all received one of those blue cards. On the back of that card, there is a link to usajobs.gov.
On the back.
In bold letters under the phone number. So what I suggest that everybody do at this point is to go on to usajobs.gov and set up your accounts. When you set up your accounts, you put all your information in there, your phone number, your address, everything. And at that time, you're able to upload your resume, because you will have to have a resume to apply for the position, and any supporting documents that you might want to include. Transcripts are not required, but if you would like to send them, please do. It won't hurt. Any other additional documentation, you can add up to, I think, 10 or 12 different documents. So if you wanted to, write a cover letter or do something, you can do that as well. And as I said, for people that have best preference, please upload your DD-214, because that's the only way we'll know if you have it. So at this point, we've been doing some information sessions, and we plan on advertising the position. Probably you'll see it on USA Jobs mid-December. So the reason we asked you to fill out those sign-in sheets at the beginning is when the job, we have to wait till the day it gets posted, you will receive an email. It won't come from Michelle and I, it will come from a recruitment email box stating that the position is posted, and it will take you right to the link. So you really don't have to go on to USA Jobs to look for it. However, when you go on to USA Jobs, there is an opportunity to do a Sage search. So if you decided you wanted to select Newport as your Sage search, you could do that as well. So any jobs that are advertised in Newport, you get an automatic email. It's like monster.com. Is everyone familiar with that? So it's the same function. So that's what you would need to do. So you apply. We get a list of eligibles, a certificate of eligibles, and anyone that has veterans preference goes to the top of the list. Okay, we have to select, it's the law, we have to select our veterans first, and then the certificate opens for everyone else. We take all your resumes and we upload them to a SharePoint site so managers can look at them. If they decide they want to speak to you or they'd like to interview you, you will be contacted. I'm not sure if it's going to be by the hiring manager or by Michelle or I, but some way, shape, or form, you will be contacted. Then you would come in for an interview at that point with the hiring manager, with the particular person. We've done group interviews before, but I'm not sure we're going to take that group this time. I'm not 100% certain. And then from there, if you get hired, Michelle will reach out to you and explain the program, and you'll work with an assistant, she'll bring you on board, and you'll go through your security process, and that's basically it. And you have two people here that said that they know how to work with USA Jobs. My big thing is don't wait till the last minute to apply. Just in case something goes wrong, there's an issue, you don't upload a document, I would apply the day it opens. That's the best place I can give you. The other piece of advice I can give you is read. Read every single thing on that application. There's an applicant checklist. It tells you what documents have to prove that you're in school. So there is some type of proof of enrollment, be it a transcript, be it a letter that you are in school. So you have to prove that you're in school. Those are the some of the applicants get left off because of things like that. That they're truly qualified. They'd be great candidates, but they didn't do the application process properly. So big, read every single item and make sure you check the applicant checklist when you apply and see. There's different documents for different programs. You definitely need your resume. Transcript is proof of enrollment or a letter from the school saying that you're currently enrolled at BCC. With that said, does anyone have any questions? Yes?
If the student becomes part of that email list, how long will they have before the job expires to apply?
I'm going to try for 10 days. We don't keep them open that long. Minimum, probably, it will be open for 10 days. I know that that's kind of the time when you're... When do your classes end here?
19th.
Okay. So I know it might be exam time, and so I think it will probably be posted around that time. So make sure you set aside a little bit of time for the application. Just letting you know. Anything else? Yes.
Is there only one position available?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's probably about 10.
Okay.
Okay. 10 is. But there are different types. Like we have cybersecurity, we have networking, we have systems administration, and data management. So there's a variety. And some are in Pat's group, which is right in the IT area, and the others are out in the product codes. But no matter what, it'll be similar work. It won't be massive.
But it's the same application.
It's the same application.
And you'll decide which.
Right.
They don't select. You just kind of select it from the resume.
Right. We'll decide, this person seems like they have more networking, this person. And in the announcement, we plan on putting, little blurbs about each type of work that we're looking for. So you'll see that as well. Yes?
So you said this was until you graduate, right?
Yes.
Suppose you graduate and you're still taking classes.
That's fine. That's fine. As long as you're enrolled in school, it has to be on a part-time basis. Okay. That's 6 credit. Yes.
Is the background check something we have to do beforehand before applying, or is that something new?
No, it's actually after you apply and you get your offer letter. It's all part of the onboarding process.
That will explain.
Yep. Then you'll get your security clearance. And I think Michelle's mentioned this in the past too. With that form, disclose everything.
I will say, I want to piggyback that. The security process, for somebody that's never been in the military or has gone through the process, everything in the government takes time. So if you don't hear back in 5 days, don't panic.
Don't go crazy.
What I will say is those who do receive an offer letter, there are instructions in the offer letter of how the security process gets started. So they send you a link to fill out a security form, which is a very lengthy form.
Yes.
As soon as you get that done and get it back, it moves it quicker. So don't wait 2 weeks to get it done.
Do it right
Turn
away.
It around in a day if you can.
Right. The faster you do it, the faster you'll hear back, really. And with a security clearance, it's good for 10 years, so you don't have to do it every year. It's good for 10 years. So my suggestion is keep your original.
Yes.
Never go. Yes.
What if you're someone who already has a security clearance?
We'd have to check. Some people are would still be in the system. If it's active and you're in the system, then you wouldn't have. It would be much quicker for you, if that's your case. Anybody else? No questions? Okay.
Any tips for preparing for an interview?
Yeah.
Any advice?
I do. Go on to find out what we do. Is anyone in this room familiar with our facility, where we're located, what we do? Okay. So 1, 2, 3. 4 people are prepared for your interview. Okay. Find out, do a little research. We have a great website, internal website. Take a ride by, look at it, get yourself familiar with it. Really emphasize, when people are speaking to you, really emphasize the skills that you have, what you can bring to the job. Ask a lot of questions. Everyone likes when you ask a lot of questions. So, but be prepared. Just make sure you do your homework. find out what we do. Don't come in and say, so what do you know about NEWIT? Just say nothing, because that's not good. Just, you know, familiarize yourself with us.
Yeah, I would suggest several things. One is definitely do exactly what you said. Make sure you know who we are, what kind of things that we do, and why you're applying to us. And then have it, because you're going to probably be asked, I would certainly have asked this in many interviews, is, you know, why would you want to work for us? Is it just a job? You just want to get paid? No, I mean, why us? Why would you want to work for us? So have a good answer set up for that. I would also say, you're all, because of the fact that we have a variety of folks that will be hiring, I'm not the only one, and we have the different areas that we're hiring for, we're going to ask you what you like. Okay, what is it that really turns you on? You know, because we're not necessarily just going to take the resume and say, okay, we know what you are, because a piece of paper is not going to define any individual. So make sure that you explain the things that really interest you, because you may find a really awesome fit that just is the right perfect fit for you and for them. So the hiring manager is really going to be asking that. We have so much technical work. Most of our hiring managers are just looking for really bright, interested people who really seem to have a connection with their area and with them. So, and then we can find some really good work for them to do. So in this case, since we have such a broad area of types of work, be prepared to talk about what you like most, why you're involved in IT, why IT interests you. Because that way they'll be able to say, oh, you know what? The job that I'm looking for wasn't maybe the right fit, but, you know, Jim is really looking for somebody in your area. And the same thing if I'm interviewing somebody and it sounds like you've got a real, you know, need for databases, then I might hook you up with somebody else. So make sure, because we're so big, we have lots of opportunities, so be prepared with what you're interested in. The other thing is, look people in the eye, and please do not do the wimpy fish handshake. Okay, I know that people who like to hide in labs don't like physical contact, but honestly, a nice firm handshake, really, it make eye contact with them, have a nice firm handshake, because it tells them that you're really in, your presence is there, you're really interested, and you're really excited about this. Okay, that's the kind of thing we're looking for. You know, we're looking for that spark that says you're really going to be the employee that I want you to be, and that we're really connected in that you're going to enjoy the work that you're going to be doing. So that's what kind of what we're going to be looking for. Certainly what I look for and what some of the other hiring managers are looking for.
As far as, you know, just touching lightly on the benefits, it's a good benefit package, you know, the dental, health, there's a pension plan in the federal government. There's not a lot of companies that offer a pension plan. You're probably not thinking about a 401k at this point, but you should, because there's a 401k with a match. So those are things that you know that are important. Generous leave policy, sick policy, flexitour is great. You can basically work with your supervisor. Work anywhere between the hours of 6:30 and
6 p.m.
and 6 o'clock at night. So I mean, it's very flexible. We're casual. We're not even business casual. It's casual dress. You know, come in flip-flops.
Don't wear flip-flops to the interview.
But you know, casual dress.
For the office students, they could work part-time during the school year,
right,
and then they could max out on the 40 hours over the summertime.
Right.
And then go back. Is that the same
thing?
Yes.
It's the same program, different series. Yeah. So you can do it. You do have the opportunity to work during the summertime if you choose, or on breaks. You know, breaks are a good time as well.
And you can,
work in the morning, go to school in the afternoon, or however you want to, you know, set your schedule up without being too.
Right.
Minimal.
You don't. We don't want it to interfere with school. That's why the summers and the school breaks are big. You know, you have a break in the winter, I think it's 3 or 4 weeks, you're banging out 120, 160 hours right there. So again, you have the hour requirement to meet. That's when you really want to bulk up on your hours so you're not overloading yourself during the school year. Each semester, your schedules will change. The hiring managers are already aware. They've worked with this program many times. They're willing to work with you. But again, you got to keep that GPA up. We don't want it to interfere with school. So just keep that in mind. If you can work during your school breaks and summers, that's when you're really going to bulk your time.
And we strive for people to come to work for us and stay with us. And it's a very good job. There's good people. There's a lot of opportunities. It's interesting work. There's even opportunity to move within within your own code that you're in. So you're not stagnant. You can grow. But if you wanted to be stagnant, you could. If you like enjoying sitting there and doing whatever for the rest of your career.
We call that change averse.
That's fine.
Pardon? Change averse.
Anything else? Any
questions? Will be a salary range posted? Or
it'll
be
in the announcement. Okay. Yeah, we post the salary. It's a range. So I don't know the exact amount within the range at this point, but it is posted on the, it'll be posted in the announcement.
And Nicole, this ties into your piece of it, right?
Like I said, Dave and I are here to help you with the application process and with resumes. That's not a problem. And we'll give you our cards on the way out the door, and you can make appointments with us of getting resume together. The other piece of this is that it is part of the co-op program. So if you are new to job offer, if you go through the security check and everything sticks and you're ready to go, you'll enroll in CED210 for the spring or the summer, depending on how it works timing-wise for you. And CED210 is the co-op class on campus. It's a 3-credit course. It meets 1 hour a week in the classroom, and then you have to do at least 10 hours a week. So when Michelle was saying you want to be looking at 10 or 12 hours a week, that's right in line with the co-op class. That's the minimum that we say that you should be doing that also. It's not too much that you're interfering with class, and it's not too little in that you're really not having an impact when you go there and you have to relearn everything. So that will be available. We offer classes in Attleboro, New Bedford, a hybrid class in Taunton, day classes in Fall River, and a night class. And we will offer classes in the summertime, too. So if it works out better to do it then. It's really important that for the first semester you're out on co-op, you have a connection to the school and a connection back. We work really closely with the hiring managers and making sure that you're getting what you want out of it, making sure learning goals are met. We're very clear about what the hiring manager's goals are, so we can reinforce that in the classroom with you when we meet. And all the things that they just talked about are the things that we do. We make sure that you know how to go to, you know, how to present yourself at work and how to feel like, you know, really advocate for yourself, and we work on communication styles, and we work on doing some oral presentations and research. So it's kind of a fun class, and it is a 3-credit course. But that will come after you've been made the job offer. Please, if this is going to go live sometime around December 15th, you think? 15th, 19th? Please come see us soon about getting a resume together. We'll make sure that we'll kind of give you one to help you with key things so that when they're looking at your resume, it's really clear what you're looking to do. So don't feel like you need to do it by yourself. You've done this a million times. Anyone have questions about the class or...
I have questions about the application process. Some of the documents that you need to attach, are we able to get them through you?
I think you can get your transcripts online. I think they're unofficial.
Yeah, unofficial,
okay.
Unofficial's fine. We don't expect you to have official because you haven't graduated yet. Unofficial's perfect.
So I know there was some confusion about people going and uploading them right from the website as opposed to saving them.
Save them.
As
save
a document
them and then upload
and then
them.
And uploading them as a saved document. And I think that's what we've done in the past, and that's worked much better. Yeah. I think there's a way right on the thing that you can send them somewhere.
Yeah.
But you should take them, save them as a different document, and then attach them as you upload them. Because somehow it got messed up and one of our students wasn't able to because they never saw her transcript. I guess you could have hard copies of them too. Just save them out, definitely do it in a separate document.
Okay. And apply early, everyone early. And last resume is best resume. So if you apply one day, I don't like my resume, I want to add this, add that. Last is best.
Okay, good. So you could change it once you send it. Last is best.
Is there anybody not thinking of applying? Anybody scared to apply? Don't be afraid.
You are. Can I ask about a different job ad that came up earlier this month for computer scientists?
Sure.
It was the computer science pathways program.
Yep.
That came up. I had applied for it.
Yep.
And I fit all the minimum requirements, but I got an email back saying that I didn't have it, and I had actually called and they made sure I had all my documentation.
Did it tell you why?
It
usually,
can I see that? Yeah. Maybe your degree. What's your degree in? Computer information science.
That's not computer science.
Well, I'm in the office concentration, the computer science concentration. What will you get for a degree?
Associate's?
Yes, and then I intend to go on to UMass Dartmouth. But that says that you just have to be even thinking of enrolling. It didn't specifically say you had to be enrolled, so that was...
Right, but with this particular, we are looking for computer science versus computer information.
Even if you're in the computer science transfer program?
But did you know that?
I have that down. It's on my, it is on all of the stuff.
You made to transfer into a computer science degree.
Yeah, it's designed.
You do have two transfer options here. One is computer information systems and one is computer science.
Right.
And if she's computer science,
There's nothing really, what I can tell you to do is, to get, if you want to dispute this, what we can do is,
this email right here, send an email.
Because I don't know why they might do it.
For anybody who might be concerned about the security clearance that we have to do, for any organization that you're going to work for and you're going to touch their computer systems, you're going to need a background check. I mean, I have other friends that have applied for other jobs, and background checks are absolutely required. You can do wonderful things with computers. The problem is you can also do really horrible things with computers, as we all know. So, background checks are an absolute minimum. So just get ready for that, because we have lots of ability to do great and damaging things in the organization. So most of my folks, I know security clearances do last 10 years, but a lot of my folks, the ones that have higher privileges on our computers, all require a higher level background check that's done every 5 years. So that is probably very similar to a lot of the commercial industries, especially some of the banks and anybody else who's trying to protect their assets.
Prepare for
the form is, if you get to that point, you're doing really good. It's just be aware, it's like a billion pages long. So they want everything, including your sibling names. They want to know when they were born and who they are and where they live. It's everything about you. It's very, very invasive, one of those types of things. But, you have to do it, and she's right. Keep a copy, because if you do get the job, you'll need it in 10 years. So.
I learned that the hard way, by the way. I used to backtrack and redo all the work, so keep a hard copy.
When I printed mine out from the last time I did mine, it was 26 pages long. I don't think it's actually that long, but when it printed, that's what I got out of it. They want to know past their residences, yes.
I have a question.
Yes, I can. You have to have flexibility with somebody who is involved in school, but do you also have flexibility with somebody, say, like with a lot of like therapy and doctor's appointments, do you also be able to accommodate something like that?
We are family-friendly workplace, so like I said, it's very flexible. You'll earn sick time and annual time, which is vacation time. That's pretty much I have a doctor's appointment I need to leave at this time. You submit what we call a leaflet to one of our systems. They sign off on it, and you're good. Does anybody have dual citizenship in here?
What was that?
Dual citizenship?
No, but I have a question about that.
Okay.
My father was in the service when I was born.
Yeah.
And I was born in Germany.
Okay.
When he left, I got a paper stating that I was born there.
Do you have citizenship?
Mission place. It was dual at time, but when I turned 21, I put into this United States. As long as I stayed here, I no longer was a citizen of Germany.
The comment I was going to make for anybody with dual citizenship is not really an issue, but they will force you to relinquish your other citizenship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can only just have U.S. citizenship.
The only, what I was trying to get at is, they gave me a paper stating that only when I was born with my father, but I kind of lost that paper. But I really don't have permission, I don't have, any paper saying that I'm still, I was born in, supposedly born in America.
I have a
German birth certificate, and I have...
But that doesn't mean you're a German citizen.
No,
right?
That's the only...
You should be fine. And at that time, if something comes up when you go through the security process, you may need to provide some type of documentation. But if you vote, you're good.
I'm just one of the comments of the security process. Please be honest up front, because when they go to research your social number and things like that, it will come out. So if you're trying to hide something, they're going to find it, and then you look dishonest. So just be upfront about it, because, you know, they're not going to say, hey, you know, you did this when you were 12 years old or 16 years old. They're not, you know, it's been a lot of time. People do grow. But just be honest, because they will find out about anything that you're trying to hide eventually. So just please be honest up front. Sorry.
Well, they didn't want to ask a question. Sorry. Now, you guys said that you had a small forensics.
I said that. Yeah.
Unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you actually hiring in the forensics?
Not right now. We do. I mean, the cybersecurity group handles forensics, so I don't actually hire forensics experts. But that group does do that. And yes, I am. I've been hiring into that particular group. I don't believe anybody else at UIT does the forensics, although there might be some pockets. I don't think so, though. So, yeah, we do only a little bit. It's not our specialty. We're just supporting the research and development area, so that's really a very, very minimal amount of work that we do.
Okay. Another comment, and this just kind of brought it through. Back when I was an intern, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So when I went to UIT, what I found was, as I started working there, because there's so much variety there, you start to do stuff, and you're like, hey, I really have an interest in this. Sometimes you don't know that you're going to like something. So
sure you do.
For similar things, you might think forensics, and then you start doing cybersecurity and be like, hey, I really like this. So I wouldn't rule anything out. Keep an open mind with that.
You can always hang around, too. That's what I'm saying at Newark. You know, if they have some opportunities and that's something you've had classes in, you know, you might get asked to help out with something like that or offer to do that if something like that comes up. And the other thing is, one of the things I was going to say is I work full-time and went to school full-time. So one of the nice things about working in an environment like ours is that there's an awful lot of really smart people. And if you're having a class and you're having a little trouble with, there's almost always somebody who can kind of help you. Because, you know, we have lots of engineers, lots of scientists, and a lot of really top-notch techs already. So if you're having problems with your Linux class, you know, we do have a couple of Linux experts, so they might be able to help you. So there's a lot of overlap between what you're working on and a lot of our areas. And all of our areas have a lot of really smart engineers and scientists to help out, as well as, you know, as well as IATs.
Any other
The logistics thing, there's a sign-in sheet going around.
Yeah, make sure.
For anybody who has not signed it, please come up afterwards and sign it. And if your name was on here, you put a check mark next to your name, correct? If you haven't put a check mark next to your name and it is on this list, just come up and put a check mark next to it. If you haven't signed it, I'll have it up here after, you know, we don't have to do it now, we can do it when everyone leaves. And mine and Dave's business cards. So if you want help with your resume or you want help with the application or you think you're interested in doing this, you're going to want to meet with us. So I'm going to leave those with Janelle by the door. I guess I have to stay by the door.
So your email address is going to be out, as Amory mentioned. If you provided us your email address, we'll be getting an email so you'll know when the ad's going to be posted. All right? Dave can go grab some. All right, if you did not check your name off, come up and put a check next to it. And we are here. Thanks for having us today. Thank you very much.
You have to check off.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't trust me if you had to show up.
Sure.